The truth is, I'm not used to make parbrengens online by Zoom. So let's start. I bought a beer. I mean, in my office, I don't have any L'chaims in my office. So I'm just going to open this.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehiyah bedvarei.
Amen.
L'chaim, l'chaim. I think there are many, many things to be explained. First of all, as a way of a very small introduction. Again, I'm not used to do Farbrengens online, but I think it's a very interesting opportunity to share a few things. And sometimes when it's not in person, so to speak, it becomes easier. People think that maybe it's more difficult, but the truth is, for certain things, it's actually easier. So, first of all, I would like to explain what's a Farbrengen. What does that mean? Because it's a Yiddish word, and it's not such a common and simple word, but it's a good word to learn what it means. The real meaning of Farbrengen means to spend time together. That's what it means. That's the translation of the word. Yes, we can write it down, sure. Devoshi, you write it down? Oh, Farbrengen, it's over there. Yes, spend time together. This is what Farbrengen means, to spend time together. So actually, in every single situation that you spend time together with another person, you're actually Farbrengen, you're doing a Farbrengen. The difference is that this spending time together, it's focused on our Avodas Hashem, on our service to God, to learn ideas about Hashem, about the Rebbe, about ourselves, that will help us, God willing, to improve ourselves and to actually get closer to Moshiach, which is the whole point of the whole Yiddishkeit, actually. The whole Judaism, that's the point. Now, we understand now what the word Farbrengen means. The question is, obvious question, which also has an answer, which can be obvious or maybe not, but the question is, why are we doing Farbrengen today? Like, regularly we have Shiurim, classes, and we learn about this, and we learn about that, and we ask questions, we answer, then okay. But why do we have a Farbrengen? What's different from tonight from other nights? Like we ask in Pesach, Manishtana, Naila Zeh, Mikolo Leilas, what's the difference between this night and all the rest of the nights of the year? And the difference is that today is Gimel Tammuz. Gimel means the letter 3, the letter Gimel actually is the number 3. The third of Tammuz, just started the third of Tammuz. And this is the time that we stopped seeing the Rebbe walking around, so to speak, in a guf gashmi, in a physical body. We don't see him anymore. We don't hear his teachings anymore. We don't see the coming and going and the letters and the answers, etc. We don't see that anymore. And instead of that, we can go to the oil, to the resting place of the Rebbe, and we can write letters and whatever, but it's not the same thing. So Gimel Tammuz, the third of Tammuz, has this strange thing. Why do I say strange thing? Because actually the Alter Rebbe, the founder of the Chabad movement, explained, based on a teaching from the Zohar, that when a tzaddik, when a righteous person passes away, actually all his avoida, all his work has an aliyah, an elevation. That means that we have more available the teachings of the Rebbe, the ideas of the Rebbe shared, etc., than before. And furthermore, the Zohar even says, and the Alter Rebbe brings it down, that a tzaddik, that a righteous person that passes away, is found more in this world, in this physical world, even more than before. So not only we have his teachings and his ideas, etc., we have him himself, his essence, more than before. Why? Because before he was limited to a body, to a place, to a time, and now he doesn't have any limits. He doesn't have any limits at all. So we can access, so to speak, his, again, teachings, ideas, etc., even more than before. So it's a powerful thing. On one hand, it's quote-unquote a happy thing, because now we have the Rebbe more available than before. But on the other side, Yeah, very nice. I just want to see the Rebbe. I want to receive a dollar from him. I want to receive his blessings. I want to see him. Hasidim, we don't touch the Rebbe. Okay, we don't give him the hand, whatever. We don't shake hands. But I want to see him. I want to have him with me. So that's why it's a strange day, because you have these two things happening together at the same time, so to speak, destruction and elevation. And this is not something new. Actually, the Alter Rebbe also brings in Tanya, quoting the Zohar also, that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the famous author of the Zohar, one of the main exponents of Kabbalah, etc., he was teaching his son, Rabbi Elazar, about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, of the temple. And when Rabbi Elazar was listening to his father teaching about this, he was crying because the temple was destroyed and was a terrible time for the Jewish people and was a terrible time for the people living there in Jerusalem at that time. What's a terrible massacre, whatever. It was terrible. On one hand, he was crying. And on the other hand, he was so happy, like deeply, deeply happy. Why? Because his father was teaching him the deepest and most secret ideas of Kabbalah. What really meant the destruction of the temple. So on one side of the heart, he was crying. On the other side of the heart, he was laughing. He was like so happy. This is something so powerful. So again, this is a proof, so to speak, that any feeling that a person can have about this duality, so to speak, of being happy because now we have available the Rebbe in so many ways that before were impossible. And on the other hand, yeah, very nice. I want to have the Rebbe with me. So these two feelings coexist. They go together and they happen at the same time in the same heart. And again, this already happened. And one may ask, hey, yeah, okay, very nice. That was Rabbi Shimon talking to his son, Rabbi Elazar. They were two very high people, to the point that the Talmud says, very something very interesting, Rabbi Shimon was a very, very special guy. But Rabbi Shimon, when in a different time, he was teaching his son about righteous people. And he said to his son, look, there are not so many righteous people in the world, you know? Yeah, maybe this number, that number, I don't remember exactly the numbers, and maybe two, said Rabbi Shimon. And you know what? It's you and me, he said to his son. It's you and me. And then you know what? And if it's one, it's just me. This is Rabbi Shimon. It's a special guy. Special guy. B'nai Aliyah, that's what they are called, like very high, holy people. What I want to say is that, okay, you're telling me that a person can have mixed feelings in his heart, on one hand happy and on one hand sad. And you're bringing me a proof from Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar that this already happened. I don't care about the proof. The proof is about special people. I'm not a special guy. I'm not special people, so to speak, quote unquote. And the answer to that is, you're wrong. You're wrong. If this teaching came to you, to your ears, to your heart, to your mind, etc., it's because it was said for you, specifically, especially for you. That means that you have the power, the possibility of having these two feelings at the same time, exactly at the same time. And we have to somehow take advantage of these two feelings and do something about them. The most simple explanation of what to do about them is to learn something that the Rebbe insisted so many times and emphasized so many times in so many different ways. The Jewish way of dealing with things is to learn about them, is to learn how these things actually change our lives, change our hearts, our minds. This is the Jewish way. The Jewish way is not like to escape. Oh, I have such a terrible feeling. I'm going to drink beer. No. That's escaping. You're not doing anything. You're not accomplishing anything. And you're actually doing things worse, but whatever. The Jewish way is dealing with things is to learn, to understand what these things mean, and not just in general, what they mean to me, for me. And in such special dates, like Gimel Tammuz, the third of Tammuz, of course, the meaning of each idea and of each feeling is different for each person. Of course, the more you know the Rebbe, the more you learn of the Rebbe and from the Rebbe and about the Rebbe, etc., etc., the more you're going to feel the special feelings or whatever of the day. And if you don't know about the Rebbe, so you're not going to feel so much, you know, yeah, another tzaddik, another special person passed away or not passed away, whatever the case is. Yeah, very nice. So this day, it should be a day to invite, so to speak, each one of us to learn about the Rebbe, to learn the Rebbe's ideas, Torah, the Rebbe's teachings, the Rebbe revolutionary focus of everything. And that learning should be taken into heart in order to grow, in order to develop your heart, your mind, etc. L'chaim, l'chaim v'livracha. One of the things that Hasidim do by Falbrengen is to sing nigunim, to sing. Because singing, the Alter Rebbe actually writes that singing is like the pen of the heart. When the heart is writing something, so to speak, quote unquote, that's singing. That's what a song actually represents. And even though probably you never heard this song, and I'm not the best singer either, I recognize that, but there's a nigun, there's a song that, in my humble opinion, represents a lot of what the Rebbe is, of what a Rebbe is, actually, and what our Rebbe is. But before singing the song, a very, very small introduction. Actually, a few small introductions. First introduction is this particular nigun that I would like to sing and teach you, whatever. It's in Yiddish. I'm not a master of Yiddish, but Yiddish was the language, and is the language, actually. It's called the Yiddish Sprach, the Jewish language. That's what it's called. Of course, not for Sephardic Jews. Sephardic Jews have other languages, but Yiddish is called like the Ashkenazic Jewish language, sort of something like that. Nobody really knows exactly when it started, no. And it's a mixture of English, German, Hebrew. It's a whole kind of languages. You can find words in Yiddish that resemble those languages. It's a very interesting thing. And I'm not going to give a class on Yiddish, of course. It's not my expertise, but that's point number one. The nigun that I would like to teach you is in Yiddish. I will explain the words, don't worry. And why do I actually choose this nigun, this song? Because again, this song to me, it represents what a Rebbe is. But in order to explain before singing the song, I would like to make like a very small introduction into this. Let's see how small it comes out, but whatever. The introduction would be something like this. Today, we're starting the 30th, what is called the Yortzeit, the anniversary of passing away, etc., of the Rebbe. 30th year, 30 years. And every single time that a special date came and it represented somehow a special year, like 100 years of ta-ta-ta, 200 years of ta-ta-ta, the Rebbe always made a very very strong campaign, so to speak. Let's go do something because 250 years of the passing of the Baal Shem Tov, so to speak, for example. So if we have 30 years, let's try to find what the number 30 actually means. This that I'm going to share, I didn't see it anywhere. It's just my idea, so it can be wrong, okay? But it's whatever, this is the way I feel it. That's why I explained before that for every single person, this feelings of happiness and sadness can mean something else. And it's okay. It's fine. It doesn't have to be the same for everybody. Our sages actually say, Keshem she'im parzefein shavis kach in deisein shavis. Just as our faces are not the same, our ideas are not the same. Okay, so this is what it means to me. The number 30, we can find it in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, very interesting Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the fifth chapter, Ethics of Our Fathers, it says over there, that when a boy or a girl, whatever, I'm not going to go into the discussion of men and women, whatever, when a person is 5 years old, when Hamesh Lemikra, when 5 years old, you start learning Torah, like the scriptures itself. Then you start growing up, like for instance, 13 years bar mitzvah, 18 years to get married, and then the Mishnah says 30 years. I'm just jumping certain dates, whatever. The Mishnah says 30 years. What does it say about the 30 years? Ben shloshim lekoyach. 30 years means strength, power, koyach. This is the most simple translation, so to speak, of koyach, power. But there's another translation. Koyach means also capacity. Your real koyach is what you're able to accomplish, even if you don't accomplish that, but you're able to. Your possibilities. When something is bekoyach, that's how we say it in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, in the Holy Language. When something is bekoyach, it means that you have the power of doing it, and it depends on you whether you do it or not. But you have the power. Koyach. So ben shloishim lekoyach, the 30th year means to recognize your own capacity, your own possibilities, beyond what you're actually doing or not, but you have the possibility. And this is actually one of the ideas of what a Rebbe means. Not just our Rebbe, any Rebbe. Because Rebbe actually means Rosh Bnei Israel, the head of the Jewish people. And of course, some other Hasidim and Hasidic groups have other Rebbes. And it's fine. For them, it's okay. Actually, the Talmud discusses what's the name of Mashiach. Interesting, in Sanhedrin. And the Talmud brings 5 different names for Mashiach. Mem, Shin, Yud, Ches. I'm sorry, 4 different names. That actually, each one of those names starts with one of the letters of the word Mashiach. Mem, the Talmud says in Sanhedrin Tzadik Ches, 98. The Mem of Mashiach is Menachem. The Shin of Mashiach is Shiloi, which is a name. Menachem is a name and Shil is a name. The Yud is Inoin, which comes actually from a verse in Tehillim, Inoin Shemoi. And the Ches means Hanina. Hanina was a sage. There were many sages called Hanina. And the idea behind this is that each student, the students of Shiloi, of Menachem, of Shiloi, of Inon, of Hanine, they used to think, my teacher is Moshiach, actually. That's why my teacher's name is the name of Moshiach. And altogether form the word, so to speak, Moshiach. What I want to say, why do I bring this idea? Because it's normal and it's okay that each student considers their teacher my Rebbe. And it's the Rebbe. Oh, yeah, okay, another Hasidic group can have another Rebbe. Yeah, that's fine. For him, it's the Rebbe, the Rebbe. For us, this is the Rebbe. This is the Rebbe. Actually, it's interesting. One time, there was an article that had to be written about Chabad, and they asked the Rebbe exactly the details, what to write, etc., etc. And they wrote the article, and the article said the Lubavitcher Rebbe, this and that. And the Rebbe, striked out the word Lubavitch, like the Rebbe. Don't call me Lubavitch Rebbe. I'm the Rebbe, I'm not the Lubavitch Rebbe. I'm the Rebbe of everybody, so to speak. So this is one of the quote-unquote jobs, tasks of a Rebbe, of the Rebbe, to bring out, to show us our own capabilities and give us tools to bring out that thing which is bekoyach, impossibility, into the poya, reality. And this is what actually the nigun that I want to teach you, or at least sing with you, or to you, whatever the case is, this is what the nigun talks about. And this nigun is a very, very simple song, which actually repeats 3 times. Basically the same melody, very short melody, repeats 3 times. And the letters, the wordings of each of these 3 times are basically the same, almost the same, but with small, very small changes. The nigun goes like this. I'm going to sing it afterwards. First, I'm going to explain it. and then I'm going to sing it. Well, let's do the other way. First, I'm going to sing it. If you understand the Yiddish, fine. If you don't understand, don't worry. I'll explain. And pay attention. Even if you don't understand, there are very small changes in the three stanzas, so to speak, of the nigun. The nigun goes like this. Again, I'm not the best singer in the world, but you'll understand. Porta yidale ina shifale zubrech zich di shifale verter trink zich shreiter taten yu rateve rateve. Oh, ich kann dir nicht helfen, ich kann dir nicht helfen. Porta yidale ina shifale zubrecht sich die Schiffale und wird er trinkt sich. Schreit er, Mamen, ju, Rateve, Rateve. Oh, ich kann dir nicht helfen, ich kann dir nicht helfen. Forta, idale, ina Schiffale. Zubrecht sich die Schiffale und wird er trinkt sich. Schreiter Reben, jo, Rateve, Rateve. Aha, du willst dich nicht trinken, du willst dich nicht trinken. That's the whole song. What's the song about? Porta Idale, they're the Jew traveling in a boat. Porta Idale in a Schiffale. Schiffale means like a small boat. There was a Jew there traveling in a small boat. And Zubrecht sich, the Schiffale, and the boat broke. It broke, whatever, a hole in the boat. Und Werther trinkt sich, and he's drowning, you know. The boat broke, and I'm drowning. And Schreiter, he starts screaming. Screaming, screaming. Taten you. Tati, Tati, my father, father. Rateve, save me, like I'm drowning. Save me. And the father answers, I can't help you. Ich kann dir nicht helfen. I can't help you. I'm sorry, can't help you. That's like stanza number one. Second time, porta idale in a shifale. Again, the same Jew. Idale is like a small Jew, whatever. There are no small Jews, but there's a guy over there traveling in a small boat, and the boat broke. Same thing, exactly the same thing. Schreiter, he starts screaming, Mamen you, Mom, help me. Like, I'm drowning. Rateve, save me, save me. And the mother answers, ich kann dir nicht helfen. I can't help you. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Third time, again, same thing, for Daidal in a Schiffele. This Jew is traveling in a small boat. Zu brecht sich die Schiffele, the boat breaks. And he starts drowning. Werther trinkt sich, like he's drowning. And now he screams, Schreiter, he screams, Rebenu, Rebe. Save me, Rebbe, save me. And the Rebbe answers him, du wirst dich nicht trinken. You're not going to drown. You're not going to drown. Don't worry. You're not going to drown. So what's going on over here? Father says, I can't help you. Mother says, I can't help you. And the Rebbe is not really actually, quote unquote, helping. The Rebbe is just saying, hey, why do you get so nervous? You're not going to drown. You think you're going to drown. I mean, that's your problem. You start screaming, mommy, daddy, whatever. It's your problem. You think you're going to drown. But I know things better. I mean, not Tuvia, I don't know anything, but the Rebbe, I know things better. Don't worry. You're not going to drown. You're fine. This nigun, this small song, represents exactly this idea that I shared before. One of the tasks of Rebbe is to let us know what are our real capabilities, our real capacities, what are we capable of, and how far we can go, even if we think we can't, even if there are no fathers and mothers that never answer to their children, I can't help you, there's no such a thing, I can assure that. However, what do the mother and the father represent over here? They represent basically intellect. Even if you think And if you know and you're certain that you're drowning and you are going to drown, even so, wait a second. You have inner strengths that you have to be aware of, and you have the possibility by yourself not to drown. Of course, the Rebbe has to come and show you who you really are. What are your real strengths that you have inside of you? And why do you have these strengths inside of you? Because Hashem put them there. Not because of you. Who are we? Whatever. We're nothing. But the Rebbe shows us who we can really actually accomplish. What we can accomplish and who we can really are. Who we can really be. How far can we go? To the point not to drown. Of course, you can understand the shifale, the boat. You can understand the drowning in different ways. The boat can be the Torah, and you learn in Torah, you're not understanding. Imagine a yeshiva bocher, a boy in the student in the schools learning Torah, etc., and doesn't understand, and he sees that everybody else does like this with the hand and he doesn't understand anything. He's like, wow, am I going to ask? Everybody's understanding it but me. And he doesn't really know that nobody understands anything. They're just doing like this. it seems that they understand. It seems, but not necessarily. And he's in this boat and the boat breaks. This is one way of understanding it. Like, again, you're in school, everybody is accomplishing, you're not. And you think you can't. So wait a second, you can. You have the possibilities. You just need a teacher that can believe in you. A teacher that can show you who you can really be, how far you can really go. Or find a teacher that can find your real strengths. Maybe your strength is not in the most deep things in the Talmud. Maybe your strength is in doing good. The Zohar itself says, there are those who do good deeds, there are those who learn, there are those who work, whatever, and support others. So there are many strengths that a person can have. And another way of understanding the boat and drowning is the society. We're drowning in the society. With the society eats up the person. It's impossible to live. There are so many passions and so many interesting things to do, and everybody does them. And why shouldn't I? There are so many different ways of understanding this example of the boat, what the boat represents, and what a person, I'm sorry, what drowning represents. But the end of the story, so to speak, the Rebbe itself, is always the same. If the Rebbe is showing you that if you're there, if you're in that situation, if Hashem put you over there, it's because you have the strength to actually overcome the situation, whatever the case is. There's a saying, so to speak, that there are no limitations at all. No limitations for a Jew at all. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that I have wings and I can fly. I don't. I'm a human being, a regular person. I can't fly. So that's a clear limitation. But that's a physical limitation, so to speak. Spiritually speaking, there is nothing that can stop a Jew from fulfilling a commandment, a mitzvah. Nothing. It's just, we have to realize that. And we need the Rebbe to come and teach us, hey, you're infinite. How do I know this? Very simple. Twice a day, we recite the Shema Yisrael. The literal translation of these words are Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, Israel, God, our Lord. God is one. That's how people translate, and it's okay. It's fine. That's what it means. However, there's a much deeper translation to that. But in order to understand the translation, we have to have a few introductions into this translation. And the idea is like this. We actually learned this in Shari Chod V'Emunah, the second part of Tanya. There are two basic names of God that represent two basic different things. You have the name of God of four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei. That represents Hoya Hoybe Ve'Iye. God was, is, and will be infinite. No time limitations, no space limitations, etc. That's what this special name of God means. Elohim, it's another name of God. It, when you actually add the letters, because in Hebrew each letter represents a number, when you add the letters of the word Elohim, you come up with the number 86. And you, when you add the letters of the word Hateva, which means the nature, it also comes up, adds up to 86. So that means that the name Elohim represents the nature. And nature basically represents a concealment of God. We don't see him. We see the nature. I see a computer. I'm talking to a computer. I'm not talking to God, so to speak, even though he is the life force of the computer also. Okay, so we have these two names. These two names are actually together, so to speak, in this phrase that we learned before, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So what does it mean, Hashem Elokeinu? Another way of translating, explaining the word Elohim is not just the nature, rather, much simpler explanation is strength. There's a verse in Yechezkel, Eilei Oretz, the strong people in the earth. The word Aleph Lamed, which is also a name of God, that's why I don't want to pronounce it. It means strength, power. So Elohim means strength. So now let's go back to the phrase again. Shema Yisrael, you should, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was saying this in Parshas Vayechanan, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the Jewish people a very important lesson. Very important lesson. Actually, I heard once from a Rabbi Gringlas, Zev Walt Gringlas, Alav Shalom. He passed away already. He lived in Montreal. Was a very special person, to the point that the Rebbe used to call him my Mekubal, my Kabbalist. But the Rebbe used to say about him, he is my Kabbalist. But he was a very special person. Very, very short guy, always with a smile, like a big smile in the hand. Was so big, when you gave him the hand, your hand was like all surrounded with his hand. A very, very special person, very special person. He said, I heard him say, that if you had to explain and think about all the meanings written in the books about Shema Yisrael, about this small phrase, you would spend a whole week just thinking about the Shema Yisrael. Whole week. All 24 hours a week, a day, for the whole week, thinking about Shema Yisrael. That means that what I'm saying is not the only meaning. There are so many meanings that you can, again, spend a whole week just thinking about this. Okay, I'm not going to talk for a whole week. Forget it. However, one idea. Again, Shema Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the Jewish people, hey, you, Jew, listen to me. I'm going to teach you something. Hashem Elokeinu, this name of God that is infinite, was, is, and will be, that is Elokeinu, that is our strength. The strength of a Jew in regards to Torah and mitzvahs, to fulfilling the Torah, to learning the Torah, fulfilling the mitzvahs, etc., etc., that strength is infinite. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. Okay, it's true in regards to physical things. Yeah, many things can stop you. Of course, if I would like to buy a new house or whatever, a house, I don't have one in Miami, and you have to spend $2 million, I'm sorry, I don't have. So that's a clear limitation, of course. And probably I will never have. So it's a clear limitation, real, 100% real limitation. Okay? But that's in a physical world. Like that's related to physical things and concrete things of the world. Yeah, we have a limitation. Of course, many, many limitations. However, in a spiritual realm, forget it. No limitations. Not one single limitation. How do you know that? Hashem Elokeinu. God is our strength. But God, I mean, in an infinite expression of God, that's our strength. But of course, we forget about this. In the event, God forbid, that we have a challenge, a difficult time, etc., we forget about this. We start asking questions and we start feeling bad and we start asking ourselves, what am I doing? Why am I here? is this really for me? Why was I put in such a situation, etc., etc.? We have all kinds of questions. That's true. But we always have to remember this idea. In regards to spiritual things, no limitations. And this is one of the jobs of the Rebbe. This is one of the meanings of this song. The Rebbe is teaching you, hey, don't worry. I know that you are actually trying not to drown yourself. Your boat broke. That which kept you safe broke. And you feel not safe, unsafe. Yeah, I know that. The Rebbe is not a fool, chas v'shalom, God forbid. I know that. But you should know, you have the tools, you have the strength not to drown. Somebody has to tell you that. And, of course, after telling you that, has to give you the tools in order to reveal that strength. And those tools are actually learning the Torah of the Rebbe. There's a teaching, there's a book, L'chaim, L'chaim ve'livracha. There's a very famous book. The Rebbe didn't actually write so many things. He taught orally, so to speak. He didn't write so much. He wrote a book called Ayom Yom, From Day to Day. It's a famous book, you can get it, it's easy to find. And over there you have small, quote-unquote, small in quantity, but not in quality, teachings for every single day of the year. The original one was written for the year 1943, Tovshin Gimel. And that year was a leap year. That's why we have also the teachings for Adar Beis, the second month of Adar, etc. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. But the point is that we actually read this every single year. And when you have a year which is not a leap year, or like a common year, you read two teachings for the days of the month of Adar, and you go move on, so to speak. And those teachings are, again, small in quantity, but huge, huge in quality. And most of them, if I'm not mistaken, all of them are teachings of the previous Rebbe, actually the Friedrich Rebbe, that the Rebbe chose and wrote down in one teaching for each day. And he actually showed this to the previous Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, and was very pleased. The Friedrich Rebbe was very, very happy about it. They printed it, and until today we learn it. One of the teachings over there, again, from the Friedrich Rebbe, but the things that the Rebbe used to say about the previous Rebbe, we say about the Rebbe. And the previous Rebbe used to, actually, one of the teachings was, if you're going to ask, how can you be bound to me? It's kashrus. How can you be bound to me if you never saw me and I never saw you? Like, we never spoke before. We were not even in the same room, so to speak. You didn't see me in my face, you didn't hear me teaching anything, etc. How can you be bound to me? Because one of the most important things in Hasidus, in Hasidic thought, besides all the deep ideas and the explanations, etc., etc., one of the main things is kashrus. Is kashrus means connection. Connection to the Rebbe. So the previous Rebbe asked a rhetorical question, how can you be bound, connected to me if you never saw me and I never saw you? And the previous Rebbe answered, and the Rebbe quoted it, this question, the rhetorical question, and the answer in one of the days, I don't remember exactly which day it is, you can look it up, in the Ayom Yom, in this book called From Day to Day. And the answer is like this: by learning my morim, my discourses, my Hasidic discourses, by learning my sichois, my speeches, my talks and speeches, and by spending time with my Hasidim, with my students, so to speak, that itself is the iskashus, the connection to me, said the Rebbe, the previous Rebbe. And we say exactly the same thing about the Rebbe. By learning about the Rebbe, by learning the discourses of the Rebbe, by learning the teachings of the Rebbe, by learning the stories of the Rebbe, by learning the talks of the Rebbe, this itself is the iskashus, the connection to the Rebbe. And one may ask, okay,
But first of all, there are many tzaddikim. There are many righteous people, as we spoke before about this. Why precisely the Rebbe? Why not learning about the teachings of something else, somebody else? There are many, many answers to this. One of the answers is because each generation has a leader, which is the head of the generation. And just as the head knows and understands each single part of the body, the same way the head of the generation understands each single part of the body, each single part of the generation, of the integrant of the people, so to speak, the individuals of the generation. And this is not something that Hasidic thought came up with. Rather, this is something that is in the Zohar also. The Zohar brings the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu, the original, so to speak, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was, the Zohar calls him Raya Mehemna. It's a word in Aramaic. Raya Mehemna means actually one of two things. Actually, both things together, but whatever, two meanings. First simple meaning is a faithful shepherd. Faithful shepherd. Just as a shepherd brings the sheep to pasture, to eat the pasture, etc., and to be okay and to be well, and brings them out and brings them in, and etc., etc. The same way Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Jewish people from the land of Egypt, because Hashem sent him, into the land of Israel, Canaan, whatever, to convert it, to transform it into the land of Israel. And that's the faithful shepherd. He did his mission. Even though he knew that he wasn't going to go inside the land of Israel. He was going to remain outside. And he actually remained outside. He passed away, Moshe Rabbeinu, the original one, outside of Eretz Israel. And he's buried outside of Eretz Israel. We don't even know where he's buried. Even so, he fulfilled his mission. He did what he had to do. And the Zohar says, in the mystical teachings, Kabbalah, whatever it says, that there's a, in the words are, ispashtusa de Moshe b'chol dara v'dara. There's an expression of Moshe in every single generation. There's one leader that is the Moshe Rabbeinu of the generation. And even though that in the desert, just as in the desert, there were also other leaders. There were 70 elders. Moshe Rabbeinu was on top of them, but there were 70 elders, and there were leaders of each tribe. Even though there were other leaders, but there was a Moshe Rabbeinu on top of them. In the same thing, exactly the same thing, you can apply today to their generation, to each generation. There are leaders? Yes. There are tzaddikim, just righteous people? Yes. But there's one, only one, that is Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the Rebbe. Again, you're going to ask somebody else from a different Hasidic movement, and he's going to tell you, yeah, okay, the Rebbe, whatever. But the Rebbe, our Rebbe, for us, of course, is the Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to tell you a very small story, a cute story. There's a friend in Argentina over here, Moshe Dahan. Maybe Rav Asher knows him, Moshe Dahan. He has a cousin, I think he's a cousin or some close relative in Eretz Yisrael. And he is a Tzanzer Chosid. From Tzanz, it's another Hasidic movement, Tzanz. He's a Tzanzer Chosid. And he's the relative of this Moshe. Moshe, he's a Chabad Chosid. I like him very much, I appreciate him very much. A very good guy. And he spent some time, I think it's Shabbos, I don't remember exactly, I think it was a Shabbos, in Tzanz, by the Tzanzer Rebbe, with his relative. And whatever, it was very nice, the people danced, the people sang, and the Rebbe spoke, etc., etc. When Shabbos finished, they were saying goodbye to each other, and the cousin asked my friend, Moshe Dahan, the cousin asked, "No, what do you think about the Rebbe? Tell me, what was your impression, you know? I know you're Chabad, we're cousins, we know each other pretty well. I know you're Chabad, but whatever, you spent a Shabbos in Tzanz. Let me know what you think about the Rebbe." And my friend Moshe answered, "Look, very nice, The truth is very nice. The singing and the dancing and the feeling was a very nice feeling. That's the truth. But you know what? The Rebbe, okay, he's the leader of Tzanz and it's okay. But, you know, you know. And the cousin looked at him and said, ah, the problem is that you're comparing it to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And it's impossible to compare. No comparison. Forget it. So the Tzanz Chosid was telling his cousin, I understand that you cannot compare Rebbes. I know your Rebbe is beyond this. I know that. And our Rebbe is whatever. Our Rebbe is our leader. He didn't stop being a Tzanz Chosid because his Rebbe is not the highest, so to speak. Actually, this reminds me another story about the Rebbe Rashab, about the fifth Rebbe of Lubavitch. And I still have a something that I did not explain, why this Rebbe. I'm reaching, so to speak. But this is what happens when you say L'chaim, you know? L'chaim. The story about the Rebbe Rashab is, he had a chosid, fifth Rebbe of Lubavitch. He lived in the year 1900s. And he had a chosid. He was very rich. The chosid was very rich, a lot of money. And he did investments over here, over there, whatever, helped the Rebbe, etc., etc. Gave a lot of tzedakah. And one time, he went to the Rebbe, asking for advice whether to invest in a specific thing, whatever. A specific thing. And on purpose, I'm going to cut the story over here and say a different part of the story, and then we're going to go back. There were a group of Hasidim, one Chosid of Chabad, another Hasidim in Europe. In those days, it was winter, it was very cold, and the only way to remain a little bit hotter was with a fire, you know, in the middle. So the Hasidim were sitting on the fire, and each one of them was relating a story of a miracle of the Rebbe, of their Rebbe. There were different kinds of Hasidim. There are different kinds of Hasidim. So each Chosid was telling, oh, my Rebbe is this, my Rebbe is that. And he made this miracle, that miracle, ta-da-da-da. And when it came to the turn of this Lubavitcher Chosid, who was a Chosid of the Rebbe Rashab, he related this story that I'm telling you. So now let's go back to the story. I asked the Rebbe, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, whether I should invest on this or not, because it was a very powerful, so to speak, high investment, a lot of money. He had the money because he was rich. But you know, there are different kinds of investments. If you have, whatever, $1 million, and somebody tells you, can you invest $1,000? Yeah, you know what, $1,000 more, $1,000 less. It's not going to be, can you invest 999.999999.999 of your money? Ooh, wait a second. I'm going to think about it because it's a high investment for me, you know? All my money. So he asked the Rebbe whether I should invest or not. And the Rebbe said, yes, invest. Go ahead. And I lost all my money. I lost. The investment didn't go. I lost all the money. This is the story by the fire that this Chosid actually related. He lost all my money. And the other Hasidim were looking at him like, wait a second. We're actually telling stories of our Rebbes that when our Rebbe made miracles. So what's the miracle in your story? What happened over here? You have the Rebbe and you lost all your money. Is that a miracle? And the Chosid answered, yes. The miracle is, I am still a Chosid of my Rebbe. I'm still a follower of my Rebbe. That's the miracle. The greatness of the Rebbe, of a Rebbe, is not that he performs better miracles than the other Rebbe, or therefore I'm going to leave that Rebbe, I'm going to go to this Rebbe, or that he talks more interesting words or stories or ideas. No. It's the Rebbe. That's where I'm going back. Why this Rebbe? Because he is the Rebbe, the head of the Jewish people, the head of the generation, definitely. And even if a person asks, wait a second, there were actually many Lubavitcher Rebbeim, starting from the Alter Rebbe, that he founded the movement, and then the Mittler Rebbe, his son, then the Tzemach Tzedek, whatever. The Rebbe is the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe. So you can ask, why this one, and why not the previous one, and why not the previous one, etc., etc. Why not the Alter Rebbe? Why not the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidism, etc.? And the answer to this is something that I mentioned before, I didn't answer, I just posed, so to speak, the question. And the answer to this is, because again, every generation has its Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu understands the particular needs of every single generation. And that's why you can be a Chabad Chosid, yes, you can do it, by being a chosid of the Alter Rebbe, so to speak, the founder of the movement. Yes, you could do that. You learn the discourses of the Alter Rebbe, as we said before. What's his kashus? What's connection? Connection is to learn the ideas of the Rebbe. Okay, I'm going to learn the ideas of the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe, and I'm going to become a chosid of the fifth Rebbe. Yes, you can do that. Sure, definitely. And you're going to feel the connection. Of course, yes. However, the truth is that the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, just to take one example, lived in Russia, in the communist, in the start of the starting of the communist party movement, etc., etc. And he had specific Hasidim followers that, of course, lived in his times and place in the world. And his teachings were actually geared to those people, for them, for their challenges, for their difficulties, for their questions in Avodas Hashem, in service of God, etc., etc. And our Rebbe, going back, he is the one that teaches us and gives us the tools, and this goes back, so to speak, when the boat breaks, whatever the boat means, and you feel like drowning, and the Rebbe tells you, yeah, don't worry, the wet is nicht drinken, you're not going to drown. Don't worry, you're not going to drown. Yeah, very nice. Okay, I got it. Give me the tools. Give me the tools not to drown. It's not enough that you're telling me you're not going to drown. How? Well, this is what I mean by learning the discourse of our Rebbe, of the Rebbe. That gives us the tools to overcome our difficulties in our times.